His glory, His divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Stay tuned. Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Morning Glory. You're tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and it's my divine privilege to be hosting this segment called Morning Glory. The time in Prashanti Nilayam right now is precisely 40 minutes past 9 a.m. That is Indian Standard Time. Thank you so much for staying with us on this pleasant Thursday morning, June the 2nd, 2016. Yes, you heard it right. Prashanti Nilayam is quite pleasant right now, as the temperatures have dropped after some pre-monsoon weather we have had lately. And today one feels confident that the monsoon is indeed tracking on time. Current weather conditions in the valley: overcast skies, and by that I mean dark, moisture-laden low clouds threatening a huge downpour in the next little while. So the chances of thunder and rain are very strong for today. The morning began with a gentle breeze, but at times is becoming a bit gusty. Current temperature, a very pleasant 28-29 degrees Celsius, that would be close to 85 in Fahrenheit. Overnight lows are expected at 24 degrees Celsius and the afternoon highs 34 degrees Celsius. Here's what's making news at this hour in Prashanti Nilayam. The abode of Supreme Peace is the most happening and happy place on the planet right now. The weather has changed for the better and most importantly, Baba's beloved students are back. And as always, they're back in thousands, along with their parents and chaperones. This place is humming with joy and excitement of the new school year. The back-to-school buzz is especially prominent in the mandir, and I say this every year at this time of the year, because the Vedam and the bhajans are charged by the little voices of the primary school children, as well as the deep and full-throated recitation by the university students. With the resumption of the new academic year, our slice of heaven is running full throttle. Which naturally reminds us that Guru Purnima is coming up next month, so now is an ideal time to come home and receive the heavenly blessings of placing your forehead on the edge of the Mahasannidhi, the holiest of shrines on the face of this planet. Dear brothers and sisters, please do take a moment to seek Bhagwan's blessings and plan your trip home for a super recharge for your spiritual, mental, emotional and physical self. By the way, there are quite a few international world conferences taking place in Prashanti next month. And of course, the festivities galore. The world is literally descending here each day. So much of diversity we see and experience, even in the student body of our schools and university, and especially amongst the devotees. And now for the lineup of programs on Morning Glory today. Feature presentation this morning, part 2 of the Tryst with Divinity interview that we started here last week with two gentlemen from Europe. They are Mr. Manfred Müller-Granzi from Germany and Mr. Jörg Schüppler from Austria. Now, last week, I did not get those names right in my announcement, and I apologize very sincerely for the same. Also, before I play these files, I want to leave you with my question for the morning, and I request your current correct answer by email to me at karuna@radiosai.org. I will repeat my email ID. It is Karuna, kite, apple, R for Rome, U for umbrella, N for Nancy, and A for apple. KARUNA. Karuna@radiosai is one word. RADIOSAI.org. My question this morning is, if Guru Purnima this year is on July the 19th, 2016, when is Ashadi Ekadashi? That is in Prashanti Nilayam's calendar. When are we celebrating Ashadi Ekadashi? Because Guru Purnima and Ashadi Ekadashi go together and Guru Purnima falls on the 19th of July. Please email me your correct answers with your name, place of residence, that is city and country. And I will announce your names most likely next week. With that question for you to work on, I'm happy to play for you part 2 of Treswe Divinity with Mr. Manfred Müller-Granzi of Germany and Mr. Jörg Schupler from Austria. Both these gentlemen are in conversation with Radio Sai's very own Mr. Bishu Prushti. Please enjoy this very interesting and riveting interview. Have a listen.
It is not so easy to get that joy. I think you have to do some hard work to get that experience of, in some ways it's an experience of oneness, so that only when a small self goes, well, can you experience that capital S. Yeah. So, it's as Bhagwan says, you know, we are golden, no? You know that Bhagwan used to call all the devotees as Bangaru, which means you are golden, but he used to say that to shine as gold, you have to go through that process. That the goldsmith puts you through. Yeah. And that is what every devotee experiences. So when did this experience happen? In the 90s?
That was in the 90s, yeah.
Okay. And after that you have returned to Prashanti Nilayam any number of times.
Yeah, I came more often, but this was not only because I wanted to be here, but pretty soon I started to be an office bearer in the Sai organization to do his work. Mm-hmm. And so there were many reasons to come here, which is still today as a central coordinator. I'm expected to be here twice a year. Mm-hmm. So this is my joy on the one hand. Mm. And this is coming home twice a year. Mm. And it is duty on the other hand.
Yes.
So both.
It's your job and your joy.
It is job and joy. JJ.
Wonderful. And you are a management consultant, a management trainer. And also, you have founded a company which is into, as you mentioned, before we started the conversation, you were mentioning that you are into this recycling business. So may I ask you, after you had this understanding of life, of this new approach to lead life, did it have any impact on the way your professional life used to be?
Yes, absolutely. You see, when I started the business of management consulting and management training, the idea was, well, first of all, to earn money.
Yeah.
And to earn good money.
Yes.
And so this was what it was all about. Afterwards, this was no longer the intention. This was no longer the driving motor behind it. But I had the chance, luckily, to say, well, which company is it I would like to work for? So I had the chance to choose. And I just accepted to work for companies where there was a certain code of conduct, where mm-hmm. where I had the chance to influence the way they were treating their employees, they mm-hmm. were doing their management business. So I never spoke about Swami, but I spoke a lot about the human values, mm-hmm. and that there is something you have to orientate on, and that you have to have some guidelines in order to do your business properly. And this, and I found out that many of the people, and especially of the management, they feel quite alone with their responsibility they have to carry. And when you have nothing which gives you a strong hold, this is a pretty tough job. Mm. So I found out whenever I opened up and I was talking very frankly about my own experiences and how these five values changed my life, I found that it was very easy to plant this seed into them, where they said, "Oh, yeah, do you know it is right what you are saying?" Mm. So this was the very first part where I found out that even my business is completely different than it was before. And then there was the idea not only to be a management trainer and to tell people how they should lead a company, but to have a company and to lead it in that way.
Okay.
Based on the five human values.
Okay.
And this is what we are doing. It is a friend of mine and me who are the CEOs of this recycling company.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very first day on, we built this company on the five human values.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever we employ someone, he is going through a process where he has to talk to me first.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling him from the very first moment, listen, you will find out this company is a bit different probably from other companies. And there is a reason for that. Because we follow certain rules in this company. And this expresses itself in taking care of each other, and that there is probably a different atmosphere than you are used to. And I tell them about the values, actually. And I tell them what it means to live these values throughout the day. I mean, each single decision you have to take as a manager, you can take it on that background or on a different background. And whenever we have to take a decision, we look, well, do we follow our Dharma? Is it following the righteousness? Is it right conduct? Is it the truth? Is it love? Is it non-violence? And this makes a difference. This definitely makes a difference.
Absolutely. Can you give me certain instances, certain ways of how you run the company, or certain occasions when you took certain decisions, which probably you wouldn't have done before? You probably wouldn't have thought before.
Oh,
but
yes.
Now you think in this new way.
You see, this business is electronic waste business. There are a lot of guys in this business. When you want to buy the electronic waste, then they ask you to pay them a certain price. And this is the first half, and the second half goes directly into their pocket. Mm-hmm. This is just black money.
Mm-hmm.
And they are used that this is the way the business is done. And suddenly we appeared on the market. And of course they approached us and said, well, okay, yeah, you can have this lot of electronic waste. And it is that much you have to pay. And in addition, I need something for my whatever, for my personal pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, well, sir, you might do this with others, but this is not how we do the business. And we explained them our approach. And we said, you see, we are doing this business. One of the reasons why we are doing this business is to make this world a little better. It does not fit in our system of values we are based on. So you have to decide now whether you want to go on or whether you want to have a partner you can rely on from now till, I don't know, till ever. And who will always be there and will be doing business on this basis with you, and you can rely on, and there you don't have to doubt anything that we are doing whatever with you. And actually we found out that we didn't lose one single customer.
Wow.
Not one single. Even those who made a lot of money in their pocket, they are still working together with us without getting anything.
Nothing under the table.
Nothing under the table anymore. So this is one of the
amazing
one of the facts that we really found out. And another one is about...
So right from day one, you didn't have a trouble getting business?
No. No, we were... It was as if somebody else took care that this business was able to grow. You know, we started with six people.
Mm-hmm.
And within just a few years, we have this company, we are running this company now for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have 40 employees.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is not... a large number, but in percent, we didn't double, we didn't triple, it was even more than
yes.
that we were growing.
Yes.
And this is, and I'm absolutely sure that this is simply to give us the chance to take care of more people, to give work to people so that they can feed their families, that they know this is my working place and I'm safe there. So this is the reason why we get this success, so that we can do our service to the people in the area where we have our business.
Amazing. I mean, it's really very revealing, because when you start a business and you, right from day one, if you say that, you know, if I don't compromise, I'm not going to compromise, then probably many people will be very afraid to take that road, because, you know, you would start to feel that, you know, everyone would say that is not the way the business works. You're not going to get business. Your company is not going to survive. It's a tough world out there. There is so much competition, etc., etc. But you were so clear why you're starting the business. And you have proven that if you follow values and if you don't compromise, you're going to get successful. It's not as if you want to become successful, if you want to earn a lot of money, you have to take those shortcuts.
And I tell you... there were big difficulties when first the financial crisis took place in 2008, I think it was.
Yes.
And then afterwards...
meltdown.
Yeah, and
in
then
the
afterwards
US.
The economical crisis was there.
Collapse, yes, in the world over.
And we had to do something. And what we did was... It was not like putting our head into the sand just to wait that the storm is going... to browse over it and it is over again. But right in this period, we said we want to double our company. We want to build up a second company,
mm-hmm.
and we want to enlarge the whole thing. And we went to the bank we are working with, and at the very first moment when we presented this idea, I'm quite sure that they didn't say it, but they were thinking, oh, these guys are crazy in this situation, what are they doing? And then we were presenting our concept, and after doing that they said, listen, usually nobody in this situation would get that much money, that much loan from us. But you are so convincing, and you have been working together with us for the last 5 years, and you were always playing fair, and you always told the truth, and you never did anything which was wrong. So it is simply that we believe in you, that we give you the money in order to double this company.
Wow.
And this was one of the... And this is how it happens. I mean, people, if they have the chance, they find out whether you are really, really telling the truth, or whether it's just fake or some crazy idea. But sometimes it's not so hard, not so easy to take. I found out with our employees... When we took over this company, they were used to a different style of leading.
Mm.
And obviously it's not so easy to suddenly meet some guys who approach you on a completely different level. And what happened, for example, was that one of our employees, he has a family, he's a father of three children, he has a wife, he's the only one who earns the money. Obviously, he couldn't stand this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And he started to steal in our company.
Okay.
And we recognized, oh, there must be someone who is stealing goods from our company. And at the beginning, we did not know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
And this was some days before Christmas. And my wife and me actually had planned to go on a Christmas vacation. And I'm not sure whether we didn't plan to come to Prashanthi Nilayam. And the day before Christmas, my production manager in the morning came and said, "Sir, I know who the thief is."
Mm-hmm.
And it was in the night shift, and we got him right on the deed.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no doubt about it. And he was home already because he had the night shift, and I was coming there in the morning just to say Merry Christmas to all of you, and now I'm going to leave and I'm going to be on a vacation. And then I called, I called this man and said, "Listen, we have to talk to each other. And I can't do that today, and tomorrow is Christmas, and I don't want to bother you and your family on Christmas. So I'm waiting for you on the 27th to meet me here in the company." And then I went home and told my wife, "We can't go on a Christmas holiday. There is an urgent matter because there is one of our employees, and he is in a need. He is in a very bad situation. And usually, as a CEO, I would have thrown him out. I would have just kicked him out, because you can't keep someone who is stealing in your company. This is simply not possible." So I went there and met him on the 27th of December. And we stood at home. We didn't take our vacation.
Why you wanted to cancel your vacation?
Because this was more important. I felt this is my duty to speak to this man and to do some... This is a kind of service I did to him. And this was much more important than going on a holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And so I met this man, and I had the papers ready for him on the table. And I said, "Listen." And then I told him a story of my life, the processes I have been going through. And I said, "I completely understand that something in you was not able to accept what is happening to you here in this company, with this new style of leadership, with these two guys who are talking about values, and you simply, you don't know how to behave. And obviously I felt that you are in a need, and there was no other way than starting to do something crazy, to steal from us." And at the end of this talk, I said, "Well, it is your choice now. You see, usually you would get your papers and you would lose your job. And I can't do that. I can't do that because there is your family and you are the one who earns the money. So if you are able to look into my eyes, and if you are able to stand up now and shake my hand and promise me that something like that is never ever going to happen again, then I will completely forget what has happened here. And I will meet you in the new year when we start working again. I will meet you as if nothing has ever happened. And I will accept you as a member of the crew as you have been before. And we are going to work together, and that's it." And the tears were coming out of his eyes, and he stood up and he shook my hand, and he was not able to speak any longer. So he went home, and he is still with us today. This is 8 or 9 years now.
Wow.
And I would say, if something would happen to me in the company, this man would give his left and his right arm for me. You see, and this is, everything is completely different since I met Swami, since he changed my life. And I could tell stories like that for the whole day.
Frankly, I would never be tired also of listening to such stories. Because this is what is Swami. Because it is one thing to say I love Swami, but the true love that we have for Swami should find expression in leading the values that he stood for,
yeah,
in leading the life that he wanted us to live. And that is the life of truth, righteousness, peace, love and non-violence.
Absolutely.
To me, these stories are more fulfilling, more enriching than a story of Swami coming in my dream and, you know, blessing me. This is the story of how we have converted someone's life into a beautiful dream. And I think that is what is more important. So, these are true stories of love. These are true miracles of love than the miracle of Swami creating a linga or Swami giving a chain. So, frankly, I would never be tired of listening to these stories. Yeah. But, why did you think of starting a recycling company? You could have done any other business, and this you started after you became a devotee. So, why recycling electronic waste?
Well, this is once again another story.
Okay.
To make it very short, the company itself existed already.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends was employed there as a profit center manager. And you see, though I'm with Swami, and though I actually dedicate most of the time of my life to his work, there are still some attachments. So, for example, I'm riding a motorbike, and I have some friends, and usually we take a week off every year just to ride on our bikes through the country.
Oh, nice.
And this friend of mine, whenever we started to have such a trip for us, he always said, oh yeah, but I'm bound in the company and I can't take a vacation now and I can't come with you. And it was just a joke that I said, well, you should buy this company, then you are the one to decide, and then you have to decide when to take a week off, mm-hmm, and then you could join us. And he kept that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then this company was getting into trouble.
Okay.
And then he phoned me and said, did you really mean that? Because I don't dare to do it alone, but if you would join me and we could do it together, then there is the chance to do that now.
Okay.
And I said, I never say something just for fun. There's always a spot of truth in it.
Yes.
And if you really want to do that, I could imagine that we do it together under one condition, and he is a Sai devotee as well.
Okay.
Under one condition, that from the very first day on, we base this company on the five human values.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I would never have thought of doing anything different. And then we started that. So I joined just by, let's say, by making a joke.
Okay.
And but obviously it was a plan that existed for a very long time, and Swami made it become true.
It happened in a very sort of funny situation. It happened in a very mysterious manner, but you had the thought to sometime have your own company.
Oh yes, the thought was there already for 10 years before actually, mm-hmm, it turned out to be the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And still in that moment I needed some some confirmation of Swami that it is really the right thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I got it at that time in a dream.
Oh, how did that happen?
You see, I never dream of Swami. Mm-hmm. When I'm sitting there and I'm quiet and I'm trying to listen to my inner voice, then I'm, let's say I'm in a quiet good contact to Swami. So I know that he's answering my questions, but
yes,
I never dream. Mm-hmm. I never dream of him. And the day before the decision had to be taken whether we should really buy this recycling company and start our own business with it, I woke up with a dream of Swami, and the last picture of this dream was that I saw this building which already existed, but it was, there was something different because Swami put some huge neon letters on top of the building, and they were in a brilliant green color, and they said Re, and then S A I Kling.
Oh.
Re Sai Kling.
Wow.
And I woke up and I had these neon imprint in my head. And I knew, oh Swami, I would never have dreamt of writing recycling in that way, but this is the idea. Of course, that it is. And from that moment on our business papers, you can always read copyright recycling. There's always Sai with us. And believe me or not, in these 10 years, nobody ever asked me why we write recycling this way.
Okay.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, yes.
So this is how I got the confirmation that obviously this is the thing I have to do now.
That was the sign right at the beginning that you're supposed to divinize that company.
Yeah.
You're supposed to run it not in the normal way.
Absolutely.
You will run it in the divine way. Yeah. And he was telling that he is the owner.
There was no other way. There
was he was no telling that it is his way. Company. You are only running it.
That is true. That is true. I'm not the owner. I'm just trying to fulfill what is given to us there.
Amazing. It's very enriching and very heartening. I mean, to see how Bhagwan reaches out to us, and second, how Bhagwan goes to such an extent to ensure that we know that we are not the doer, to ensure that we take that road to divinize our lives. And he's there at every step.
And he is very strict.
He's very strict.
I mean, mistakes are punished harder and harder when you do them, though you know that they are a mistake.
Mistake.
So it's a
lesson.
It's a challenge. It's still a challenge.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
We have to try hard.
No gain without pain.
No gain without pain. That's a good sentence.
So, Mr. York, tell us how has your profession and your music been different after you came to know Bhagwan?
When I came back from this, tabla course trip to India.
Without learning tabla.
Without even learning tabla. I finished my studies in Munich for a teacher. Becoming teacher.
So you learned to play the piano?
Yes, it was part of that.
Okay.
Piano and harp.
Harp, okay.
But then after that, I decided not to go into school. Immediately, but to have another studies about music therapy, because I felt I want to work with the people more, with more close contact. So not just standing there and teaching, but also, be using more the heart as a tool to approach people, to work with them, to help them, to
help
do service to them.
So it's some sort of, in some manners, it is healing.
It's a part of the health system.
Yes.
Where
use music
and
to help
you
people.
Use the music as a tool, like you can use art or you can use different tools. But music is one of them, and music was always my life. But I wanted to work with people. I wanted to shower my love to people.
Yes. To do whatever you can do to people, help people through music.
Yes.
Okay.
And then I started it in Austria. That's a reason why I went to Austria. And now I had the feeling I'm doing my real profession. I was so happy to be close to people and to give them this feeling what Bhagavan was giving to me, to come home. Just be happy, and not like you have to do this, you have to learn this, and then you may be happy, and then you you may be good. I wanted to give the feeling you are good.
You are already happy.
You're already happy.
You don't have to wait for
you're
things
already
to become
complete.
Happy.
Yes. And that was a very joyful time for me to learn and to work like that.
Wow.
So that is Swami's miracle also,
yes,
to encourage me for that,
yes,
way. Because the first way was more on the secure side, you know, if you become teacher, you earn money, you have holidays. It's a lot of comfort also. It's work, but it's also comfort. And music therapy, yeah, it wasn't so easy at the beginning. I worked just for free or for a little money, but was full of happiness.
Wow.
And that made more satisfaction.
More satisfaction.
Yes.
So I would say teaching music was earning a livelihood, but doing the music therapy was giving you a life.
Yes.
One was for livelihood and the other was for your life.
In that time it was like that. And now I came back to the teacher.
Okay.
Because I could express what I wanted to. It's so important in your life you can express,
yes,
what you feel in your heart.
Yes.
And once you did, the life comes complete.
Yes.
And now I'm also very happy about as a teacher,
yes,
in my life. But it's not the only thing now. I can switch.
Yes. Between a therapist,
yes, yes,
and a teacher. So are there any one or two instances that you want to share about, you know, how this music helps someone?
Yes, I was one of my fields was to work with old people with dementia. And you know, usually in Western countries there is quite a good comfort for in these homes. They have a room, they have television, they have food. But what is lacking is the real approach to them, the real way of communication to them. It's a way of approaching them, and I will ever remember those situations with them sitting together, from eye to eye contact on the same level, and making them happy to play their songs of their youth, to give them space and time, which is very important. If you don't give them time, you won't get any reaction, because they know, if there is no one giving me time, why should I express myself? But when you give time, they always start with sharing about their memories and their love also. And these situations were like this, that there was silence, and then there may come some song of them, or they may tell a story, even if they have dementia. And it was part of the music therapy. And the music helped them to open their hidden treasures, and their also forgotten treasures.
Wow.
And for me, every little sign of expressing their life, love, memories was a miracle.
Wow.
So it may look at as a little step, but for me it was a very big step. In every person, and that is part of the music therapy, that you look at the person like you look at yourself. All the topics they have, you may have also in future, or you even have now. So it's always the approach of we are same, we are one. My you is my I is the you. There's no difference, and I learned that in the studies, which I'm very grateful for, and these are the miracles of Swami.
Musical miracles.
I could experience in the music.
Amazing. I think when you gave them time and when you genuinely cared for them, I think that is when they were able to connect with you at the heart level.
Yes.
And that is when they forgot their disease.
That's true. And I was even working on other fields in the hospital, in ICU, the intensive care unit. And there have been also people who liked playing an instrument, who were just hobby players. But they liked music a lot. And what I was doing. I was, you know, these intensive care units, they are very controlled.
Yes. Restricted.
Yes. And you have to wear certain dresses
yes.
and to obey all the rules of hygienic.
Yeah.
And so I came in and I put this plastic gloves on, and not only me but several music therapists, and I was playing the harp with this plastic gloves. But it reached them, and some of them, they played, they started playing with me.
They started playing.
And one man was a keyboard player. I took the keyboard. He was really in bad condition. His breathing was very bad, and
mm-hmm.
also he could not move much. But mm-hmm. when the keyboard was, you know, there was this little miracles with his fingers. He just started playing his songs he played at home, and then he felt at home. Wow. At this moment, these were the moments he also felt at home. And this was, again, one incident where I could share my feeling coming at home with somebody else.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just wonderful what you can do with music. But more important is the attitude behind it.
Yes.
It's not the music itself, it's more the, what Swami says, the values.
Yes.
And then you can use all the tools, but yes. the attitude behind is most important.
Amazing. I mean, it is, music is no different from God. It's God's power. If you can channelize it well, and if you do it from your heart, then you will see God's power mm-hmm. at work.
Yeah.
Because that person in the ICU, he starts to play the piano. He would have never imagined that he can do that.
Yeah, he was very surprised. Yeah. And it changes the whole atmosphere. It's not only yes. working with one guy or one person. It's you change the whole atmosphere, and the other people working there in the hospital, they also start now being more happy, joyful, maybe also singing some song, sharing their hearts, what they usually mm. not do because they don't have much time, or
yes.
they feel it's not appropriate. Because too much contact, you know, it can be also mm-hmm. burdening. But mm-hmm. when once the atmosphere is there, everybody likes to share. And that is the beauty of music. It doesn't only reach one. It yes. always reaches a whole...
entire.
Yes.
Wow.
The whole atmosphere, the whole environment.
The ICU, which is supposed to be a place where people are going through trauma and pain and depressing environment, you totally change it. To where people are connecting with their self,
mm-hmm.
connecting to their source of happiness.
Yes.
And that will not only help them in their recovery, it will also help the others, as you mentioned.
Yes.
It will change the whole atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That is what music can do. And no surprise, Swami loved music so much.
Yes.
And if you see, yesterday I was thinking, you know, even before Bhagwan was born, the musical instrument started playing in his house.
Mm.
It was a musical welcome that the Lord received,
mm.
even before he emerged
yes.
onto the world. And from then on, music has always been part of Bhagwan's mission.
Yes.
The first mission, in fact, is music. He started with that Pandani Bhajan group, and then he sang Manasa Bhajare, and
mm.
that is when. Amazing. So how do your people in Germany and in this North European countries take to bhajans?
How they take?
Do they find comfortable singing the bhajans here? Do they find it difficult uttering the Sanskrit words?
Or
how,
yeah.
how do your bhajan sessions and prayer sessions happen?
They are mostly welcome in the Western countries, and everybody likes to join bhajans, or at least I don't know anybody who doesn't like. And there, I know many people who couldn't sing, or who had not courage to sing, or no self-confidence, and through bhajans they learned singing,
mm-hmm.
and it's so wonderful. Yeah, just to get this experience of singing and of expressing, and then to realize you can sing. And
wow.
I spoke with many people who told me this, that they did not sing at all before Swami, and then started to sing, and then started to have self-confidence without reading notes, without education of singing.
Mm.
But actually the bhajans have been the education system for them.
So through bhajans they have begun to relish music.
Yes, for many it has been a startup.
Wow.
And then they may come to the choir.
Mm.
And even there, people are coming who have not sung in the choir at all
before.
But then they start and self-confidence comes more and more.
Yes. So people in these countries, Czech Republic, Austria, Germany, do they sing the same Sanskrit bhajans or do you have your own bhajans?
Usually there is a little difference in every country. Of course, the choice of bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
There are some bhajan books which are used. So the source is the same, but the choice is a little bit different. But we all use those bhajans sung in Prashanti. Only the pitch is a little bit different.
Okay.
A little bit lower than in Prashanti.
Okay.
Yes.
But do you feel a little difficult because you may not get the pronunciation, you may not get the words, you may not find the tune a little bit difficult?
Yeah, for me it's easy because I have a sheet book. And I also have to admit I need it. I'm not very good in remembering all the Sanskrit words.
Mm.
And the others, many just do it by listening and as I remember by listening.
Mm.
It can be also done for Westerners quite
good. So people take
good.
To these bhajans, even
yes.
though they may not know the Sanskrit words.
Yeah, there are many who don't know what is the meaning of
yes.
the words, but still they feel the essence in it,
yes.
and they just sing and listen and practice by listening. But also many, try to go. In Western countries, usually you have translations.
Yes.
So you don't just sing, but you also try to get the meaning of what you are singing.
Wonderful. So, Mr. Muller, so bhajans are an important part of the Sai activities in these countries, in Zone 7?
I think they are the basis, because when we start to have a group coming together, then the first activity is singing bhajans.
Mm.
So we meet every Thursday, and it is a bit different than it is here in India, because usually what we do is that half the time we are singing the bhajans that we know from here, and half the time we sing songs out of the other world religions.
Okay.
So we sing Christian songs, we sing Islamic songs, all the whole variety of religions is present, and we worship God in different languages and in different songs. And this is the basic activity where it starts from. And then most of the times, there starts this longing in the heart, so what can we do now in addition? So, and from that moment on, you start to do some educational work. First of all, you try to you become a schoolboy yourself again, and you read the literature, and you read the teachings of Swami, and you want to know yourself. And when then that is done, then the hands want to do something.
Yes.
And then service activities start. And so it's a process you go through. But the basic activity, I would say, and this is in all the countries the same, is Thursday evening is bhajan.
Bhajans. What are the different service initiatives that you mentioned that have started in so many of these countries and perhaps going on? Would you like to mention some of them for the benefit of our listeners who may not know what is happening in all these countries, Slovakia, Lithuania, Sweden and so on?
Well, to be honest, this is very, very different in these countries, because the development in these countries, the economical development, the historical development is quite different. You see, the Eastern countries, as we have them in Zone 73, they went through this process of being part of the Soviet Union.
Yes.
And then 20 years ago, they suddenly were released, and
yes.
they started
USSR
to
collapsed. Yes.
Yeah. And they are on themselves.
Mm.
This means that it takes quite a long time to catch up for the economical situation.
Yes.
So there are still people who definitely are in need of getting food, for example, or getting shelter. So in these countries,
these are countries in region 73.
Yeah, in 73. It is in Poland, this is in Lithuania, in Estonia, in Latvia.
Okay.
So this whole, and it goes down to Slovakia, to Hungary.
Okay.
It is this part of the countries. And there the initiatives often are that, they open up a place where they cook meals for the needies and distribute them to those who can't afford to buy their own food. So this is one of the initiatives.
Okay.
In Germany, and I think this is pretty much the same in Austria and some of the other countries, it is often that there is not enough food or no shelter or something like that, but it's more a need of the heart.
Yes.
And so we go to the homes of elderly people and take care of them and sing with them or just offer some activities so that they feel there is someone who is giving us time and
yes.
who is approaching us somehow different. He respects us
yes.
As what we are, human beings,
yes.
and tries to share the love with us, and so there are more activities like this.
Yeah.
And then there's a great variety. There are some immigrants, and we start to help them to get confident with what this new country offers to them, or we help them at school to find their way in the school with the language. We teach them the language of the countries. So there is quite a bundle of activities
yes.
going on.
Wonderful. Since you mentioned about, you know, even though there is no need for food and shelter of that kind in many of these developed countries, I remember when Mother Teresa went to the West and someone told Mother, there is not any work for you here because, you know, here people are affluent. She said, it is here that there is greater poverty. It is here that I have more work to do than in India. And she said, how come? And she said, here there is poverty of a different kind. Here there is poverty of love.
Yeah.
I have to give that here.
Mm-hmm.
So, poverty of love is there everywhere. But, you know, in some places you don't have, you have basic needs also,
yes.
along with poverty of love. But here you have the greater need of poverty of love. Since, as you mentioned, you know, you have more split ups, you have more families which are not together, there's more disharmony. And that is where, there's always an opportunity if you want to lend your hand. There's always someone who would need an extra smile, who would need a caring gesture and a sweet word. Amazing. So it's really wonderful listening to not only how your lives have been transformed, touched, and so much changed towards His ways, but also how in your own way, you have tried to take this to so many people, you know, not only through the SAI organization, through your business, and Mr. York has done it through his music, and I think that is the most beautiful part of being a SAI devotee.
Yes.
Actually, I have no intention to close this conversation, but I think I have to close the conversation. So finally, tell me, Mr. York, what is it that you're taking with you back to Austria from Prashant and from this trip?
Can I close with a song?
Oh, sure. I was actually tempted to ask you if you can sing. I know you play the piano, but every person who can play the piano will also know how to sing. So please go ahead. I think that would be the best way to end the conversation.
I want to. Barbara, take my hand. Barbara. You got me rocking and rolling, rocking and reeling, Barbaram, pop, 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 ram. When to put the party closer, Bhagavan, with your grace, we are singing in Prashanti Nilayam. Ram, take my hand. You got me rocking and rolling, rocking and reeling, Barbaram, Sai Ram, Sai Barbaram.
Wow. What a rocking and rolling end to this conversation. Beautiful. Mr. Manfred, your final words.
Yeah, now it's a pity that we are not on TV, because what I'm taking with me is this huge smile, because this is what I saw in the faces of all the pilgrims we had with us.
Yes.
When we had the chance to sing at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagavan, and they were all so happy and so smiling, and this expression of love is what I'm taking with me and what I try to distribute in the countries to those who had not the chance to join us, but who I'm sure who were with us with their hearts and who hoped that everything turns out fine here. And this should be seen now, this smile of all of us.
Oh yes, wonderful. So you're going to ensure that this love of Bhagavan rolls.
Oh yes.
Yes. Every heart,
oh, yes.
To every devotee.
Oh, yes.
Who came and who could not come, and whose thoughts are with us, whose love is with us. Wonderful. Thank you very much, both of you, Mr. Manfred and Mr. York, for taking the time out and being with us and sharing his love. And I just hope that we, in our own way, take this love and share it with more people and make this planet a place where there are more smiles than there was yesterday. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sai Ram.
Say Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, and welcome back. You just heard the conclusion of the two-part Tryst with Divinity conversation with Mr. Manfred Müller Granzi of Germany and Mr. Jörg Schüppler of Austria. I'm sure you enjoyed this very interesting interview, especially the song at the end. And might I add, this interview was conducted by my colleague, Mr. Bishu Prushti. I also want to take a moment to once again apologize to our listeners because I did not get the names right of my two guests last week on Morning Glory. So I hope you can overlook that. I've made the correction this time around. As always, we look forward to your feedback to this conversation and all Radio Sai programs. Please send us your thoughts, feedback and comments and any suggestions that you might have at listener@radiosai.org. And it is 37 minutes past 10 a.m. Indian Standard Time in the Radio Sai studios in Prashanthi Nilayam, India right now. Today is the 2nd of June 2016. And I cannot let this moment pass without letting you know that while I was making the opening announcements at the beginning of the show inside the studio, I could not see because there are no windows to the outside inside of our studio. We had a heavy downpour of rain at that time for some time. It was not for very long, but it really rained hard. And everything outside the studio, in the ashram that is, trees, grass, plants, and even people are all freshly washed and rinsed. Very exciting time for us. The eagerly waited monsoon is finally here. And since I have time on my side today, I would like to share the names of all our listeners who got the right answer to my question for this morning. And I had asked you, if Guru Purnima falls on July the 19th this year, when is Ashadi Ekadashi? It's a very big celebration in this part of the world, and usually the states of Maharashtra and Goa come here with their exuberant and extravagant cultural presentations, and they really revive, they bring in so much of enthusiasm and excitement. And I know as we speak, there are hundreds of gurus and thousands of children and their parents all involved in the preparation for Ashadi Ekadashi. So I was looking for that date from you, and of course the right answer is July the 15th, 2016. This year, Ashadi Ekadashi falls on July 15th, 2016, and Guru Purnima falls on July 19th. Now, with that, here are the names of the listeners who got this answer right. Amongst the youngsters, our young listeners, we have Veda Patel from Johannesburg, South Africa, who is a regular listener. Correct answer, Veda, way to go. Shreya Sai, who's 5-year-old, and Shweta Sai, who's 12-year-old, from Irvine, California, USA. So the children from South Africa and USA, thank you very much. Brilliant, God bless you, right answers. We also got the right answers from Purna Jankiraman from Sharjah, Jayashri Rangarajan from Madurai in Tamil Nadu, India, Mr. Bala from Bahrain, Mrudula Murthy from Bangalore, Karnataka, India, Geeta Sundar, Madurai, Tamil Nadu, India, Harihara Satyanarayanan from Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates, Sridhar from Irvine, California, USA, Natasha Singh from South Africa, Suhana Patel again from Johannesburg, South Africa, Tarun Kanti Ghosh from Kolkata, West Bengal, India, Raji Venkat from Mumbai in Maharashtra, India, Ajay Rajan from Chennai, Tamil Nadu, India, and finally, Sunita Menon from Bahrain. Thank you and congratulations to all these listeners. And now before I close and leave you to enjoy some bhajans till 11 a.m., I have to share some very exciting news with you. Dear brothers and sisters, quite recently, I was privileged to conduct a 3-part interview on a topic which I will surprise you with later on. Now, my guest was Professor Venkatraman in the first 2 episodes. And in the final episode, I also had my colleague, Brother C.G. Sai Prakash, join us along with Professor Venkatraman to fill us on all the details on this wonderful topic. As an interview, I was so interviewer, rather, because I was conducting the interview. As the interviewer, I was so engrossed in learning everything they had to share on this topic, and the topic shall remain a surprise for a bit, that I just didn't realize where the time went. And with Swami's grace and blessings, I hope to debut on Morning Glory very soon. It is so good that you may want to download all 3 parts and hear it at leisure again and again. For me, it was blissful learning. So don't go anywhere. In the next few weeks, you can catch all 3 episodes of this very, very and really very special conversation right here on Morning Glory. First 2 episodes, my guest being Professor Venkatraman. In the 3rd episode, which is the final one, it is Professor Venkatraman as well as Mr. C.G. Sai Prakash of Radio Sai. With that food for thought, I seek your permission to sign off as I leave you to enjoy some special audio presentations from Team Radio Sai and a request bhajan that was asked by one of our listeners. Till we meet next Thursday, please be well. Stay in a positive space and do whatever it takes to be joyful. And please, don't forget to smile. Smile not only with your lips, but also from your heart and your liver and your kidney, from deep within. Because you know why? Actually, everything is all right. And everything is good only because whatever is happening as per God's divine will. Let's love Him and love His uncertainty without any iota of doubt. I wish you have a Saisam awesome day ahead. Jai Sai Ram.
Giridhar Govinda Gopal Ghanshyam Nandalala. Giridhar Govinda Gopal Ghanshyam Nandalala. Madhusudana he Madhava,
Manmohana, Madhusudana he Madhava. మనమోహన మధుసూదన హే మాధవ గిరిధర గోవింద గోపాల ఘనశ్యామ నందలాల
पिबरे राम रस पिबरे राम रस रसने पिबरे राम रस पिबरे राम रस 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 राम रस
Shikara.